anytime that I say anything to you guys and you don't understand it, or it's maybe not the way you've been taught in the past, if the Lord witnesses it to you, receive it. If he doesn't, just let it go. I mean, you know, because if it's
of the Lord, it'll come back to you when it's the right time. And sometimes we're not always really in a position to where it's time for us to hear what we're asking, even sometimes. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've asked the Lord a lot of things over the years. Sometimes he tells me, and sometimes he don't. But, you know, I just thank him for what he does show me and what he does tell me. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way here today. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. You alone are worthy of it all. We just ask you to bless each person out here that hears this word. Give them ears to hear what your Spirit would say. And let's not only be hearers of the word, but let's be doers of the word. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you deserve it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I was trying to decide if I wanted to tell you this joke. It's not really a real spiritual joke, but I kind of liked it in a way. And it's called a truck driver. Okay, we've all had situations where we've had a truck driver cut us off or let us in or whatever, and usually truck drivers are fairly courteous. I mean, if they see that there's traffic slowing down, they'll give you space to get over in case you need to get over. The good ones do that anyway, the ones that are decent folks, you know. But anyway, this truck driver, he stopped at a roadside diner one day to grab some lunch. And he ordered a cheeseburger and a coffee and a slice of apple pie. And just as he was about to eat them, three big hairy bikers came in, walked into the restaurant. And not all hairy bikers are bad, but some of them are. And the first biker grabbed the trucker's cheeseburger and took a big bite out of it. And the second biker picked up the trucker's coffee and downed it in one gulp. And the third biker ate the trucker's apple pie. The truck driver didn't do anything or say a word as all this went on. When he was finished, he just paid the waitress and he left. The first biker said to the waitress, "He ain't much of a man, is he?" She said, "Not much of a driver either." The waitress replied, "He just backed his 18-wheeler over three motorcycles." Don't mess with them truck drivers. They're in that big old machine. They can run you off the road. Well, I thought that's kind of funny. Yeah, he drove right over their motorcycles. Didn't say a word. He paid the bill and everything. So you better watch out when you fool with them guys. Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is The Light of the World. And, you know, the Lord will finish what he has started in our lives. That's Clive who just said that before, but that's right here on my scripture here. And he is working our lives even when we don't realize it. He works through our victories, our defeats, our joy, and our suffering. Now, that's not some of those things we don't like. The defeats we don't like when he's working there too much. We don't like it too much when we're suffering. But I tell you what, if we'll trust him and we'll ask him to let me see the hand of God in everything, you can even begin to see his hand in those things. John 15:5 says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And the sooner you realize that in your life, the better off you are. Because I tell you what, that'll keep you seeking his face and keep you asking, "Lord, what would you have me do in this situation or that situation?" It says, You and I will not be victorious, maturing Christians without a close relationship with Jesus Christ. How close are you to the Lord now? And that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Sometimes we need to get closer than what we are, you know. And John 1:4 says this, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And you know, as our light, the Lord delights in us, and he gives us joy. You know, light cheers and gives warmth, strength, and energy. In fact, light is used in Alaska to treat or prevent depression from the days of total darkness. It's called cabin fever. The Lord Jesus Christ cheers and energizes and strengthens and encourages us too. True joy and peace come from him and cannot be taken away. He is our joy and our light. You know, when Alexander the Great was a young boy, his father purchased a spirited horse. The best of the king's horsemen could not manage this animal. Finally, young Alexander took charge of the horse and managed him easily. Asked to explain his power, he said, "I noticed that the horse was afraid of his own shadow. And when I kept his face towards the sun, he was unafraid." Christians become frightened at shadows because they look away from the light. We are to keep our focus on the Lord, and we will find peace by doing so. James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow in turning." Isaiah 26:3 says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Like the light, the Lord is unhindered by space and time. He has always been and always will be the light of the world. He is the great I am. He has saved and changed men's lives in the past and will continue to do so in the future. He is the light of the world. If we let him, he will fill our lives with his spirit as light fills a room. In fact, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. John 8:12 says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 14:27 says this, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." John 16:33 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, you know, this next scripture is a repeat of that scripture, but it's in a different translation. It's in the Amplified Bible, and I just love this. John 16:33 says this out of the Amplified Bible, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations." You ever have any of those? Yeah, oh yeah. I think we've all had some of them this week, you know. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And I love this. Have deprived it of the power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. You know, the battle is the Lord. It's not yours. As long as you try to fight the battle, you're going to lose. You're going to beat yourself up. You're going to wear yourself down. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be disappointed and everything else. But you know, when you let Him fight your battles, and He fights them because He knows they were coming before they ever came. And you know, I've got written down here, this is a song we used to sing, and we used to sing it pretty often. And it's called "I'm a Conqueror and I'm Victorious." And the words to the song go like this: I'm a conqueror, I'm victorious, I'm reigning with Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places, in Him, not with Him, in Him, because the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory, because the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. And you know, we don't sing the whole song. I'm going to tell you the rest of the words. We don't never sing these other words. We are a people of power. We are a people of praise. We are a people of promise. Jesus has risen. He conquered the grave. Risen, yes, born again. We walk in the power of His name. Power to be the sons of God. Sons of God, sons of God. We are the sons, yea. Sons of God, yea, yea. And I tell you what, that's who we are. We have to quit believing that we're something else. We got to quit believing that we're defeated. We got to quit believing that everything that happens to us is the devil getting us and everything else. And we got to start acknowledging Jesus Christ in the middle of it and say, Lord, You were tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You are our strength. You are our conqueror. You are our everything. And until we start saying that and believing that, we're going to walk around part of the time defeated and part of the time beat down. When we don't need to be beat down, we need to start walking in victory and in the glory of God. You know, He said, you know, Jesus, when He prayed His high priestly prayer in John, He said, Father, I pray that they might be one as You and I are one. You and me, and me and them. Not me out yonder somewhere, me in them. And He said, and then the world will believe. You can send 900 evangelists out all over the world, and they'll get a few people saved. They'll get a few people to commit their life to the Lord. But until we start believing that we are one in Christ, that He is in us, we're in Him we live and move and have our being, until we really start believing that and taking that to heart, the world is not going to believe. It's time for the church, and don't get me wrong, I'm not directing this directly at you. I'm just saying the church in general out there. But if it applies, then take it on. It's time for the church to start believing what the Word of God declares about them. Not what the world says, not what everybody else says. This is not about being blessed so you get a bunch of cars or get a bunch of houses or get a bunch of money. It's not about that. It's about you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and His Spirit, and you moving and being obedient to the things that He tells you to do when He tells you to do them. You know, I was talking back in Sunday school a little bit, and I was telling them about, you know, hearing the voice of God. And, you know, He wants us to hear His voice. He says, what? My sheep do what? Know My voice, and another they will not follow. Now, what we need to pray every day, and I believe we need to pray this every day, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to me today. And I tell you what, if you'll pray that, I believe he'll honor that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace until we come into the unity of the faith. Now, the church is not in the unity of the faith out there. You know, one church is saying this and another church is saying that, and they're making fun of each other and they're doing a lot of other things, and they're saying things about the things going on in the world, and they're fussing and carrying on with each other and everything else. That is not the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith is where you're trusting God, you're believing Him, that He's in control, and you're not struggling with everything that's happening around you. I'm going to tell you, we all need to take a step back from things that are going on in this world. There's a mess out there right now. It's a mess. And you know what? There's only one person, and when I say person, I'm saying spirit, really, that can straighten all this mess out, and that's God. He's the only one. And until we come into the unity of the faith, you know, every man is dealt a measure of faith. A lot of people say, Oscar, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Even the atheist that stands up and says, I don't believe in God, he has a measure of faith. But all he needs is for the water of the Word of God just to touch that seed of faith in him, and it'll grow into a tree that the fowls of the heavens can lodge in. And I tell you what, we need to start asking the Lord, Lord, give me opportunities to share your word. Give me opportunities to love my brother and my sister. When we see a man overtaken in a fault, instead of pointing a finger at him and condemning him, let's restore such a one. We should be restorers, restorers of the breach, restorers of people's lives, we should be lovers of people. You know, I've told you before, and I know a lot of people, some people like Jimmy Carter, some don't. I happened to read a book about him one time. And you know, he's a Christian guy. He loves God. And he, regardless of whatever kind of president he was, he loves God, you know. But I tell you what, when he said he one time asked this evangelist who was very successful in bringing people to the Lord, he says to that man, he says, what's your secret? Because, you know, you seems like wherever you have ministry, people end up giving their life to the Lord. He said, I love the one that's standing in front of me. And I tell you what, folks, we can talk all we want, but until we start showing the love of God to people and the true love of God, you know, Jesus didn't heap condemnation on people. He heaped love on them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I tell you what, that's our message to people, that he loves you, and I love you. And if we find our love is not something that you feel, it's something that you do. If you love someone, you won't cheat them. If you love someone, you won't lie about them. If you love someone, you won't say bad things about them. You'll cover them with the love of God. And you know what? We have to quit kidding ourselves sometimes as being Christians and saying, well, bless God, I go to church on Sunday, and, you know, that's where I get my re-energized. And then we go out of here and talk about our neighbor like he's a dog. You know, well, you know what? If the neighbor's a dog, maybe he needs to be petted a little bit. Maybe he needs to, for you to tell him about the love of God. I told you that story last time I spoke, that little joke about the woman going out on her porch and screaming, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, talking about the Lord. And the guy who lived next door to her was an atheist. And, you know, she was out on her porch and she was praying, and she said, "Lord, you know, I've lost my job. I don't have provisions. I need you to provide for me, Lord." So the next day she goes out on the porch and there's bags of groceries out there. And she says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And that guy jumps out of the bushes and says, "God didn't give you them groceries. I bought them groceries." And she prayed and said, "Thank you, Lord, for making the devil bring me groceries." But we shouldn't say that. But you know what? God will use people that you never thought he would ever use if you'll just trust him, if you'll just have faith in him. You know, when we come to the unity of the faith, the world's looking for us to come to the unity of the faith. Unto a really mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you know what? When people see you, they're going to see him. You come to that measure of stature of fullness. That you be not children tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive. But, listen to this, speaking the truth in love, you might grow up into him in all things. We need to ask the Lord, help us speak the truth in love. And I tell you what, when we speak the truth in love, lives will be changed. Things will happen. Things will change. Praise God. You know, I was telling them back in Sunday school, I said, sometime I'm going to have to go back and teach out of Ezekiel again, you know. And, you know, I'm going to read you a portion of Scripture out of that real quick, and then I'm going to close. I'm not going to talk to you a real long time this morning. And I'm going to read you, this is Ezekiel, the first chapter. And I just want you to, let me find it here. I don't have it written down on my paper. I'm kind of winging it here. Is that okay? Let me find it here. Okay, come on. Where you at? I'll get it here in a second. Okay. See, that's why I write all my scriptures down so I don't have to do this. All right, I'm just going to share this one portion of this, and here's what it says in Ezekiel. "And it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." And you know, years ago when I taught on that, I looked at that and I thought, well, Lord, what, you know, he saw visions of God. And you know what that word there for visions meant? I saw mirror visions of God. Mirror visions. What does that mean? When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Who do you see? You see yourself. You know, Preston Eby came here one time years ago, and I love Preston Eby. He was a kind of a short brother and kind of bald-headed, and, you know, he was a little guy, wasn't real big. And he was talking about different things when he'd work on cars and stuff, and you know, he talked about different times about busting his knuckles and stuff, and he'd have to say, praise the Lord, you know, instead of getting mad and stuff. But he said, you know, when I get up in the morning, and Preston Eby has some deep truths, he really does. And, you know, he's went to be with the Lord now, but his son, I think, is trying to carry on his ministry. But anyway, he said, when I get up in the morning, he said, I go in the bathroom, and I go in there to shave or wash my face. He said, I look in the mirror, and I say, Eby, you're a son of God. You don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God. And you know what? Have you ever wondered why when Jesus was walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, they didn't recognize him. You ever wondered about that? I mean, they'd been with him for years, you know, while he was doing his ministry. And they're walking a pretty long way down the road, almost all day. And he's opening up scriptures to them from Genesis right on through the whole Bible. And, you know, when he first walks up to them, they're sad. And he says, well, what's the matter? He said, don't you know what everything that's been going on in Israel, how they took, you know, Jesus and they crucified him, did all this, you know. And he starts talking to them and he starts espousing scriptures to them. And they get all the way to where they're going. And then they invite him to come in and have dinner with them. And he walks in. Now, I'm telling you, if I walked down the road with Clyde, I'd know it was Clyde. If I walked down the road with any of you guys and we were walking down the road, even if you had a hood over your head, I'd know who you were when you started talking to me, because I know you well enough to know who you are when I hear your voice. But, you know, they didn't know it was Jesus. And then he took the bread and he broke it and blessed it and gave it to them. And I shared this partially in a sermon the other day. And then they said, and then he disappeared out of their sight. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us? And you know what we need to do? We need to say, Lord, wake us up. Wake us up where we ain't walking around in a daze all the time, where we ain't worrying about everything else but the things of your kingdom and the things of you. And I'm saying this to myself. I'm not saying this to you. I'm speaking to myself. Anytime that I preach a sermon up here, don't think Oscar's standing up here saying, oh, bless God, I've arrived, because I haven't arrived. And I know I haven't arrived. But I'm telling you what, I want to not only be a hearer of his word, I want to be a doer of that word. I want to come to the place where I fulfill what he's called me to do. First of all, he wants us to be in fellowship with him. That's the most important thing. You know, then after that, he wants us to fulfill the works that were ordained for us before the foundation of the world. He wants us to complete them. Are you all right, Debbie? Your knee's hurting? Well, we'll come out there and pray for you in a minute, okay? Praise God. But anyway, folks, I want you to know that's what he wants us to do, you know. He wants us to begin to fulfill what he's called us to do. And the main thing that he's called us to do is to love one another. You know, they asked him, said, Lord, which is the greatest commandment? One time they asked him that. And he said, well, you know, love the Lord your God, and so on and so forth. And one guy says, oh, I've done all that. He says, then go and give everything you got to the poor. Whoa, he wasn't really ready to love his neighbor as himself. You know, self wasn't the neighbor next door to give him that $1,000 he had in his pocket or whatever it was, you know. And he went away sorrowful. And I tell you what, the Lord has a way of cutting right through the bull. When we throw out the bull to him, we don't fool him. He knows exactly where we're all at. He knows that we all fall short of the glory of God. But he also knows that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it in us. And what we need to do is be cooperative workers together. We're laborers together with him. And sometime the labor that he wants you to do is just admit where you are in a situation. And once we admit where we are, then we can be changed, you know. And Lord knows I need that too. But I want you to know that Ezekiel said he had visions of God. And the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And if you do a word study on that in the original Hebrew, you'll find out that it meant he had mirror visions. Mirror. Praise God. Scripture says, We behold him as in a glass darkly. And you know, if you walk up to a store and all the lights are off inside the store, they kid me a lot because I've always combed my hair a lot, you know. Sorry, but that's just a habit. And it's getting harder to comb it all the time because it's disappearing as I get older. It's kind of funny. My one grandson, Josh, Jennifer was talking to him one time, and he's the oldest grandson. And she asked him, she says, if something ever happens to Grandpa, what's he got that you want? He said, I want Grandpa's comb. And they kid me. They said, you're like Fonzie, ain't you? I said, I just have always combed my hair a lot. And, you know, but what I was getting ready to say is when I go into a restaurant, because it's windy outside and stuff, I usually stop on the doors in between the doors and comb my hair because I can see my reflection in there. My hair's sticking all up, and I'll stop and comb my hair. And even the people in the restaurant that we know and we've talked to because we go in there a lot, that they've kid me about that sometimes. They said, "We seen you out there. You looked all right. You didn't have to comb your hair." But you know, you are what you are. But what it is that when we observe him as in a glass darkly, but we're going to come where we see him face to face. And when we're really going to see him face to face, it's when we look in that mirror and see ourselves. You know, I told you one time, and I'm going to close with this, but I told you one time that my sister, her grandson, he was, when he was little, he would crawl up in the bed with her and sleep with her a lot of times. And she said she woke up in the morning one time and said he really startled her, she said. She said he had his nose against her nose and his forehead against her forehead and was looking right in her eyes when she opened her eyes. And you know, when she told me that, I thought, and then the Lord brought a scripture to me, what he said about Israel. He said that they were the apple of his eye. And I thought, apple of the eye. And I thought, and the Lord directed me to check in to find out what that actually meant. And when I checked into it, it meant little man of the eye. Little man of the eye. And I thought, praise God. That means when I get close to him and I look in his eyes, who I see is myself. Amen. As the little man of the eye. And you know, that's the way God wants us to view ourselves, because he's called us. You know, Jesus came, he was the pattern son. He was the firstborn among many brethren. And you know, we bore the image of Adam. It's time for us to bear the image of Christ. It's time for us to look just like our big brother, you know? I know when my brother was alive and I was a kid, I always kind of looked up to him at times, although he pestered me to death and we fought a lot, but I loved him, you know, and I always kind of admired him and thought that, you know, you always want to do the same things that your big brother does. Well, you know what? He said, "These works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these." Wow. We haven't seen that yet, folks. It's coming. It's coming. When we wake up and realize who and what we are in Christ, and who and what he is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have to realize that he's in us. That's one of the greatest revelations that was hidden, Christ in you. You know, been hidden from past generations and now is made clear as daylight, some translations say. But the full circle of that is we have to not only believe he's in us, then we have to believe what it says in the book of Acts. In him we live and move and have our being. Not only is he in us, but we have to be in him. And if you remember what I read you here in some of these places, it would say in him. You know, it would talk about being in him. And you know what that word in means in the Greek? It literally means a fixed position it has a real deep meaning. It's not just a little word, but it literally means like a place of fixed position where, you know, you can't hardly move out of it, you know. And that's where we have to come, where we don't move out from Him. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. God bless you all. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say, feel free. You know, I want you all to add if you have anything to add or anything to take away or whatever. But I want you to know that He is the light of the world. And He says, and Scripture says, as He is, so are we. You're the light of the world too. Because His light in you is a part of that light of the world. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you all praise, we give you all glory, we give you all honor. Thank you for your words. They are truly spirit and life. I ask you to bless your people as they go forth and just pour yourself into them and out of them. Let them realize who they are in you, and let us all come to that greater dawning of that realization. Because when we truly come to the full revelation of it, this world is going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Debbie, I want to pray for you.